Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi Today. Today we're going to be focusing on the 40th Perek Mem of Sefer Yeshayahu. This should be a familiar Perek to us. This Perek begins with two words which should be imminently clear to us as to where this appears in our year, and they are Nachamu, Nachamu. This is the Haftarah of Shabbos Nachamu. This is the first of the prayer of the Haftarahs of Nechemta, of consolation, and we're going to follow through. It's a little bit long perek, it's just over 30 psukim. We're going to divide it into four basic sections and contemplate each of those sections. The first section is the comfort and return of Hashem, where Hashem turns to, it seems to be, as the Rashi points out, he's turning to the prophets, the Nevi'im among the people, to say, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokeichem. You should tell the people, give them comfort, tell them that Hashem is coming. Tell Yerushalayim, call out to Yerushalayim and tell her that as she should call out that Hashem is returning, her sin is appeased, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken double for her sins. The section continues to describe how this voice of Hashem is going to emanate from the desert and clear a path for him, and every valley will be fulfilled, and every mountain will be flattened in the wake of this voice. Any crooked part, crooked path will be straightened via Yaakov, Le'Yaakov, Le'Mishar. And then finally, v'nigle kavod Hashem v'ro'u kol basay yachdov kipi Hashem diber, that every will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken. So this is going to be this preparation time in which every knows Hashem is coming, Hashem is going to reveal himself to the whole world, and every will be recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the end of the first section, runs from Pasuk Aleph all the way through Pasuk Hey. Now in this section, it is interesting, what is this double nature? What is being doubled in the sin of Yerushalayim that she's paid up? So Ibn Ezra says that if you look throughout the course of Jewish history, Israel has suffered more than two times of any other nation. Meaning to say that Israel's been around for a very long time and they've suffered a tremendous amount. So it's really a description, it's a hyperbole of how much suffering has occurred for the nation of Israel. Whereas the Metzudos and the Abarbanel point out, no, it means to say double because of the two Batei Mikdash which are being destroyed, which will be destroyed. Which is fascinating because at this point in time, Yeshayahu is talking to a nation who's not seen in either of the Beis Batei Mikdash destroyed. So there's a pregnant meaning in these words which could only be understood really until later on in history. One basic question when contemplating why is it that we just followed a three-parak narrative. So we went back to the story of Chizkiyahu and the miracle against Sancheriv. So why in the world is this the first thing that we hear immediately following these that prophecy, that story? Why does it suddenly arrive now? So the Barbanel points out a very beautiful idea. Number one is that if you looked at this salvation, you looked at Chizkiyahu being saved, well, don't worry about that. There's going to be even a greater salvation at the end of days. So sort of putting things into perspective in this context. The Barbanel goes on to give one additional reason, and that is that when Chizkiyahu was told that ultimately that there would be Golos created because and Bavel would come in because he showed his storerooms to Bavel, Chizkiyahu's response was one of sort of, you know, almost like sort of concern for self, where he said, as long as there's truth and goodness in my days, then it's alright. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him and says, well, that may be good enough for you, but understand, Nachamu Nachamu Ma'ami, that even my people need to know that there's going to be a way out, there's going to be a redemption in the end of times. That's the part the Barbanel says, quoting the Midrash and Shir HaShirim Rabbah. We continue to the next section. The next section is a section which emphasizes the power of Hashem versus the power of human beings. So in this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yeshayahu describes a voice that demands from the soul of Yeshayahu to speak, and Yeshayahu says, what should I say? So Hashem explains to tell Yeshayahu that to tell the people that all humanity is like straw, like this chaff. All, you know, emptiness. The word of Hashem will remain forever. He will come in to redemption on a tall mountain. He tells Yerushalayim and Tzimva et Zion that to announce that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming and not to be afraid because he will come, meaning to say, don't worry, don't think that you're going to have to retrace your steps by announcing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming. No, it's going to be so imminent, it's going to be so true that everybody will know and you should be able to announce it already now. He'll come in strength and bring reward to the people. He'll be like a shepherd bringing in his sheep. Keroye edroy yir'e, bringing in his own sheep. This is a beautiful section, a beautiful description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arrival. One thing that is it's worthwhile thinking about is, what does it mean to say this notion of the Jews or human beings really being like grain or chaff? Who's this referring to? So the Metzudas points out, well, this is referring to the war of Gog or Magog. That means to say, at the end of days, understand that all these bad people, all these nations will melt away, will be blown away in the wind like this chaff, like this leftover grain, nothing of consequence, even though they look like they're powerful today. Rashi gives us a bit of a different spin on it, though. Rashi says, no, we're actually referring to all of humanity. Meaning to say, understand, look at a human being. A human being may have a great amount of power. There may be very influential human beings who control not just cities, not just countries, but even sections of the world. But understand something, that at the end of the day, there's going to be a time where they're going to be put 6 feet under and there's nothing they can do. That's it. They're finished. Human beings are worthless. Human beings have very little time that they're in power. But the word of Hashem is Kayam Lo'ad. Yakum Lo'olam is going to stay forever. What's he essentially saying within Rashi's perspective over here? I think it's something very, very, very important is, be careful who you trust. Al tiftuchu ben edivim, b'ven adam sha'ena teshua, as we say in Tehillim, in the first Hallelujah. Don't think that you can turn to Egypt. Don't think that you can turn to these other powers around you and believe that you have trust in them. They're human beings. That's what seems Yeshayahu seems to be saying over here. It is worthwhile for those who are interested to take a look in the Siddurim or the Machzorim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and look at the section of Unatana Tokef. A lot of the language that is used in Unatana Tokef is borrowed from the second section of Perek Mem in Yeshayahu. So examples are Kavakoras Roe Droy Mavir Tzono Tzach Atachas Shivto, like the shepherd is bringing his sheep and measuring them under the rod. That's the imagery we have at the end of the section over here. And finally, in the section afterwards, we have a section in the Machzor called Adam Yasodah Me'afav Asofah La'afar, that a human being starts in dust and ends in dust, and the words we use is Kechatzir Yovesh Ketzitz Novel. Those are the words that Yeshayahu uses over here, the inconsequential nature of humankind. But the powerfulness and the eternity of Hashem. Finally, we move on to the third section, which is a long section in this parak, which runs all the way from Pasuk Yud Beis all the way down to Pasuk Chav Vav. This section is really focusing on finding the power of Hashem. Very fascinating section. He essentially says, who can measure the power? Who can measure the earth? Who knows the length of the heavens? Who can weigh the sand and the oceans? Who is the person who knows what Hashem wants or Hashem is accountable to? Meaning to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond your power, human beings. And then he describes what the nations are like. He says the nations are like a drop on the outside of a bucket compared to the contents. You know, like when you pick up a bucket and there's like one drop which drops off the edge, or there's condensation on the outside. That's what the nations of the world are to Hashem. That's how consequential they are to him. Like the thin dust you blow off on scales. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes, there's not enough wood in the forests of all of Lebanon, nor animals in the region, and sufficient to sacrifice in front of Hashem. And you say, that's how powerful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Understand who you're dealing with. And then he goes on to say, the nations are worthless. Who can be compared to Hashem? Right? The angel, he describes how the, you know, like these people create their idols. He says, well, the craftsman makes an idol, but he's very careful the amount of money he's going to spend. He's careful to use wood, which is a stronger type of wood, so it lasts. He gives a chain so you can drag it because it doesn't move itself. He says, what? You're going to compare that to the powers of God? You're going to invest, you're going to put your eggs in the basket or something which is which has no life force, or even has a life force and is going to die? That's what you're going to do? And finally, he says, towards the end of the section, he says, how can you know the truth? How do you find out truth? Where do you see God? He says the following, Haloi teidu, haloi tishma'u, haloi hugad merosh lochem, haloi havinoisim moistos oretz. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Do you not, was it not told to you? Could you not understand it through the foundations of the earth? The Mitzvot David points out most beautifully, there are four ways of coming to knowledge of God. Knowledge, meaning intellectual pursuit, you can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu logically, like the Rambam describes in his multi-step proofs for the existence of God in the Moreh Nevuchim. There's another way of doing it, that is Haloi Tishmo. Maybe you can have a master who knows how to do it, teach you. Right? There can be somebody who can explain it even if you can't conceptualize itself. Or maybe if you're not able to conceptualize it. Hello, God, maybe you have a Messiah that God exists, whether you understand it or not. Or you can just look at the earth. Look at the earth. Look at the natural sciences and see that it all points towards godliness. What a beautiful description of finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on to describe how metaphorically HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits above the earth and looks at all the inhabitants like small grasshoppers as this expression of power. Obviously, clearly a metaphor, spreading out the heavens over the earth like a tent. This is clearly a metaphor where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes all the leaders void and empty, and so void are the gaps left by the leaders he removes, that not even the void gets filled, because that's how empty it is. That's how empty their leadership and their power was. And finally, he questions. And he says, he turns to everybody, he turns to humankind, he says, Ve'eld mita damyuni ve'eshve ve'yomar kodosh. Who can you really compare me to? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Se'um ora menechem uru'umi bora ele. Look to the heavens and saw who, see who creates these. These obviously refers to the celestial bodies, the stars, the planets. Who created all of this? Hamoitzi, the nebulae, the galaxies. Hamoitzi mispartz va'om lekulam she'beshem yikra. Everyone is given a name. Understand this. You know, when William Herschel and Caroline Herschel were mapping out the skies, the end of the 1700s, going into the 1800s, and they were discovering star after star, nebula after nebula, and they got the, there was a certain point when you run out of names. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've named them all. I understand all where they come from. There's not going to be a single one that's missing, just like, you know, there's not going to be a single one of the 7 billion people on this planet who's inconsequential to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very powerful section. The Medrash adds to this a very intriguing idea, and that is that when you look at the word Elohim, which is Hashem's name, it's actually a compilation of two words, which is Ele and Me. So this is based on this pasuk over here. Su'umu ramene enechem uru'u mi bara ele. See who found thee, who created these. Sometimes in life, we look at the world and we just look at the Ele. We just look at what's in front of us. And we don't put the Me in it. We don't question where does it come from. That is what's called koitzes balatios, where you separate the root from the product. And you're not seeing, you're only looking at the ultimate, the result, not the cause of the result. And that's called avodah zarah. That's when you're not able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. That's what happened at the Chet HaEgel. If you look back at the Perek Lamed Beis in Sefer Shmos, the way it's described when they created the Egel HaZor, it says, Vayomru, they said, Eile Elokecha Yisrael, Asher Elucha Meretz Yisrael. And these are your gods. Meaning, let's look at the Eile, let's look at what we see, let's not question me, who. Because to get to God, you need Eile and Me, and that's Elohim. Finally, last section is Perek, very brief section, is about Hashem giving reward. And he says, Lamatoma Yaakov Tadaber Yisrael Nistara Darki Me Hashem. Why are you worried that your path has been hidden from Hashem? He says, "Don't hello your datim lo shomata elokei olam Hashem. Know that I've been the God for eternity. I created the edges of the universe. Hashem is never tiring. Hashem is eternal. Hashem is the fuller picture. He's going to give koach to those who trusted in Him, and those young men are going to run out of koach." And this is what Mitzvah says refers to the non-Jews who persecuted the Jews. Finally, ending with the famous pasuk, "Koyvei Hashem yachalifu koach." Those who trusted and hoped in Hashem will have renewed strength in the future. What's really going on? Yeah, most of the Farshim say this refers to Israel and Galus, when Israel has seen such a long time of persecution, such a long time of being abandoned, that they at certain points say, does it really matter? Is Hashem really with us? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reaffirming that there will be a future time where He is with us. However, the Malbim points out that there's an extra dimension over here, and that is that not only do people give up hope because they feel like they're abandoned, sometimes they feel that they've been abandoned in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has predetermined all of world history. And therefore, what role do we really play in that? So to the response to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, keep going. You're not going to really fully understand this. You can't really fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working in this world, but understand I care about you. Your actions matter, and your actions matter enough to bring about the Geula. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.